Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Our church exists to help people find and follow God. And wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we're glad you've joined today. Today, we're going to hear a message in our series called Clarity, a clear picture of God's story, your story, and how they fit together. In this series, we're flying through the Bible at 30,000 feet. And if you have a question or want more clarity on something that is shared, send us a question. Go to threecreekschurch.com or find us on Instagram to submit your question. And every Thursday, we release a podcast that answers as many questions as we can get to. To find out more about our church or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com. And now, here's this week's message in our series, Clarity.
Well, hello, Three Creeks Church. My name is Joel. I get to be the pastor here, and welcome to week one of Clarity, and also week one of community groups. I know for the first time in a long time, you are sitting with some other people watching this. So for those of you that have joined a community group at Three Creeks Church, welcome. I've never been more convinced that we grow best when we are in groups, and so I'm thrilled that you have joined one. And for those of you who have not joined a group, if you're sitting here and you're watching this alone, let me just say two things to you real quick. Number one, we'd love for you to join one. If you live on the east side of Columbus and don't have a group of people to watch church with, man, we've got a lot of options for you. Number two, if you don't have a group, that's okay. If you can't join one, that's okay. I know that you might be like, man, is this going to be like going to a party where everybody else knows each other and there's inside jokes, and it's not going to feel like that. You can stay with us. I'm thrilled you're here now. I hope you'll stick with us. I think that this will be tremendously beneficial to you in your spiritual journey. So welcome. We are in week one of a brand new series called Clarity. I have had this series in my pocket since we started Three Creeks Church about 3 years ago, and it feels like the right time to throw it out there. Let me tell you where we are heading. In 2016, there was a show on CBS called Living Biblically. It was based on a book written by a man named A.J. Jacobs, who wrote a book called A Year Living Biblically. He read this book cover to cover, the Bible. He wrote down every commandment that he could find in it, and he tried his best for an entire year to follow every single one of them while living in New York City, I might add. And so he didn't wear any clothes with mixed fibers. So this tri-blend shirt, out, like soft t-shirts, out, not legal. To keep up with Levitical laws, he would not be able to trim the edges of his beard. So he ends up with this huge Duck Dynasty looking beard. He wouldn't shake hands with women who he thought might be ceremonially unclean. And maybe the worst one, and also the funniest one, he would take pebbles and toss them at people, trying to follow the command that one should stone someone who has committed adultery. Now, obviously, this is a very extreme take on the Bible, so extreme that his wife was so fed up with it that she said she was going to leave him, and he didn't want to get a divorce, which would have also been against the Bible. So the whole thing kind of fizzled out. Now, obviously, that's a very extreme take on the Bible, but I do believe that it kind of encapsulates the way that many of us feel about the Bible. We're really not sure how to take it. And it's very intimidating. I mean, it's the biggest book that many of us have ever held in our hands. Now, I get that for someone watching, that's very easy to say. You haven't been around a lot of Christians very long, and so to say that the Bible intimidates you, that doesn't take much. You can say that very easily. But I know there's a lot of people who are watching who that's hard for you to admit. You've run in Christian circles long enough. You've talked about having a quiet time long enough that for you to humbly and honestly say that this intimidates you, that's a tough thing for you to do. Because we're all kind of at a different place as to how we take the Bible. A lot of us see this as a terms and conditions page at the end of something that we're signing up for, right? Just pages and pages of mumbo jumbo that couldn't possibly matter. We just want to scroll down to the bottom, click accept all, and if something is important enough, they'll find another way to tell us about it. Am I right? I mean, that's how we view this, and sometimes I feel like that someone who's supposed to tell you the most important parts. Like, you don't really want to spend your personal time reading through this stuff that you don't understand, but you come to church, you know, occasionally, or you watch a message and you go, I'll bet you he'll make sure that I know the most important parts. I think there's some people watching who you've tried to read this whole thing cover to cover, right? Wild guess, you started on January 1st. Another wild guess, you made it to about the end of January, right? You got stuck in some genealogy with a bunch of names you couldn't pronounce, like Zipporah and Melchizedek, and you're going, who named these kids, why do they matter, and how could it possibly relate to my life? And then there's another group of people that's watching right now, and I think it's a large group of people. You have run in some Christian circles long enough to know the Christian way of saying things, like you got in the Word or you had a quiet time, am I right? You've even said that you get in the Word and you have a quiet time, but let me just guess as to what that looks like for you. You spend a lot of time in Psalms, you know what the Proverbs are, maybe you flip over to Matthew or Mark occasionally or Luke around Christmas, but a lot of the time you open this up, you point to a spot, you hope it makes sense because you feel like you should. You read a couple of paragraphs. You go about your day. You forget what you read. And 80 to 90% of this doesn't make a lot of sense. I believe that COVID in this shutdown, I think it's exposed this truth, this reality in a lot of our lives. Because, you know, pre-COVID, I could ask you, you know, how are you doing spiritually? How are you doing with your walk with God? And if you came to church twice a month, you might answer, doing pretty good. But since you haven't been able to go to church very often for the last 7 or 8 months, if I'm asking you, how are you doing spiritually? How's your walk with God? If you're going not very well, I think that that exposes how confident you are in reading the Bible on your own. You know, a lot of you see this and you think it's a fairy tale. You don't think that it's true. Some of you see this and you immediately feel guilty because you say that you believe that it's true, but you don't read it very much. And so that kind of gives you this guilty feeling. 56% of people in our country say that they believe that this is the Word of God, but only 19% of the people in our country read the Bible on a regular basis. So I don't know what percent that is in between. I'm not very good at math, but it sounds like they're lying, because if they really believed it was the Word of God, I think they would probably read it pretty often. Some of us have been studying this thing for a long time, and the more you've studied the Bible, the more you've realized that it's deeper than you thought that it is. Some of you right now, you're sitting in a group of people, and you don't have a Bible, right? The person next to you, they have highlighter all through it, their names engraved on it, and you feel really insecure because you don't even own one at all. You haven't spent a whole lot of time in it, and you don't want anybody else to know that that's the case. Some of us see this as a memento or a good luck charm, something that we should have in a courtroom or in a living room or at a funeral. Somebody who's watching has a Bible and the pages are falling out. And somebody who's watching has a Bible that hasn't been off the bookshelf in months and you had to dust it off this morning before you came to community group. Listen to me. I don't like to make a lot of guarantees, but I've got one to make today. I guarantee you that this series, if you stick with it, will change your life. It's gonna change your life. I'm not exaggerating, I'm not kidding. I've never been more confident that we are gonna go through a series that if you stick with it, it is going to change your life. And I know this to be true because it changed mine. I grew up in Africa as a missionary kid. I never missed church. I learned all the Bible verses. Be strong and courageous. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was Salty the Songbook in my school play. Okay, in junior high, I did Bible quizzing. We would go around, travel to churches. We'd sit on these little beepers, and if you memorized the verse, you'd try to get up as quickly as you can. I know somebody else did that too. It was weird, but it was awesome when I was in seventh grade. I had shirts covered in Jesus fishes. I was not allowed to buy Abercrombie and Fitch apparel. You know what I got to do? I got to buy a breadcrumb and fish apparel. And yes, that is a real thing. It's a tribute to Jesus feeding the 5,000 with some bread and some fish. I mean, this is how I grew up. I was just surrounded by Christians. It was a Christian home. I wouldn't trade it for anything, but my point is that I was the poster boy for youth group and Sunday school and summer camp. And then I graduate from Christian college. I'm 23 years old. By the way, this is not anybody else's fault other than my own. but I'm 23 years old and I decided to go to this thing called the Kanakuk Institute. It's gonna be 1 year where for the whole year we're gonna study the Bible. This is gonna be our only textbook. And 2 months before the Kanakuk Institute is supposed to start, they send me a book in the mail and they say, we want you to read this before you get there. It was a book called Max Anders' 30 Days to Understanding Your Bible. I remember opening it for the first time and seeing that it had fill in the blanks. I remember arrogantly being like, fill in the blanks. I mean, don't these people know I've been wearing a WWJD bracelet for like 20 years? I don't need fill in the blanks, man. But to prove myself as the obvious valedictorian waiting, I decided to just do every single page of the book. And I, as a 23-year-old person, my mind was blown. It was completely blown. For 23 years, I had just kind of faked my way through this. I knew how to get through a conversation in small group. I knew the books of the Bible in order, and I felt like that was enough. And I'm 23 years old, and my eyes are just being opened to this being one big, beautiful story, and the fact that I'm not the main character, but that Jesus is. Have you ever talked to somebody, listen, have you ever talked to somebody who waited a while and then they finally got contacts or they finally got glasses? What do they say? They can't stop talking about it. They say, I can finally see. I can finally see. They start pointing out things far away, like things they can read. And then what else do they say? They say, I can't believe that I used to live like that. I can't believe I used to live like that. That is the effect that this series will have on you. If you are brand new to Christianity, this is the perfect series for you. If you've been following Jesus for 50 years, it's the perfect series for you. If I could leave anything with you in all of my time at Three Creeks Church, it would be that you would understand and love your Bible, because this is going to outlast me. You see, the main way that you should hear from God is not from my words, but from His Word. If you stick with us in this series, it's going to change your life. Listen, in this Bible, there's 31,102 verses. There's 1,663 commands. 40 different people wrote this book over a period of 1,500 years. And there are 3,237 different characters in the Bible. If you spend any time with me, you will agree with me. I am not the sharpest tool in the shed. That is too much for my mind to understand or comprehend. This overwhelms me at times. It intimidates me at times. I don't even know where to start at times. But if you stick with me for 13 weeks, 12 weeks after this one, you're already halfway through one of them. If you stick with me through 12 weeks, it will change your life. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how these 66 books, it's just one big, beautiful story. I'm going to try to explain a clear picture of God's story and your story and how they fit together. I'm going to break the Bible up into 12 different eras. And in each message, I'm going to fly at 30,000 feet for about 15 minutes. I'm going to show you, you know, how Abraham and his son Isaac and how that story relates to Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat that you heard about. And I'm going to show you how that relates to Daniel in the lion's den and how that ties in with Jesus on the cross. I'm going to show you that this is one big, beautiful story. And each week, it's not only going to be a 30,000 foot flyover, but every week I'm going to zoom in on one story in each era and show you how applicable and relevant this Bible is to your life. Let me just share three things logistically that I think will make your experience through this series better than it would be if I didn't share these three things. The first is this. Every single week, John mentioned it in the announcements, we're going to have a podcast. I know that as I fly through the Bible at 30,000 feet, that you're going to have a lot of questions. I can't possibly cover all of this in a 12-week series. You're going to have questions, and I really hope that you will ask them. If you message us on Instagram or go to threecreekschurch.com, there's a place for you to submit questions. We're going to take them in. We're going to study. We're going to record a podcast. And every Thursday, we're going to release a podcast that answers your questions. This week, for example, you might ask, you know, what's the version of the Bible that I should get? There's a lot of them out there. Or how did the Bible even come to be? When did these 66 books get put in here? Those are great examples of questions that you could ask. I'm sure you've got some more. Ask them. We would love to answer them. Number two, I would love for you to have a Bible in your hands every week as you watch this. And I'm not talking about the one that is in your pocket that you can turn on and off. I just think having one, I feel a little old school saying it, but having one that you can mark up with a pen or a highlighter, one that you can flip through the pages back and forth, I think that's going to be valuable to you. If you have one, bring it. And if you don't own a Bible, two things. Number one, tell your group leader. They'll tell me. I'll have one at your group next week. And if you're not in a group, email me, joel@threecreekschurch.com. I will order one on Amazon Prime within 1 minute of getting your email, and I will ship it to you. You'll have it by next week. I would love for everybody to have a Bible in their hands every single week. Number three is, for those of you that are in groups, you have a guide kind of in your hands. I want you to keep those in that booklet, and you're just going to stack them one on top of the other. At the end of 12 weeks, you're going to have a whole Bible overview in your booklet. And if you're not in a group, you can download them all. threecreekschurch.com/clarity. They're all there. If you do those three things, it's going to help you. It's going to make this whole experience richer and deeper and better. If you stick with it, this is going to change your life. One of the books in the Bible is the book of Hebrews. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says this in chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. This thing is alive and it's powerful and it cuts you and it exposes your innermost thoughts and desires. There's something special about this. I've experienced that verse in my life. And as I say that, I recognize that somebody watching is going, I don't know that that's true. Like you don't believe this. And that's ultimately the question that everybody needs to answer. Maybe not right now, but as the series goes on, that's the question that everybody needs to answer. Do you believe that the Bible is true? We're living in a day and age when it is difficult to decipher what is true and what is not. I mean, which media outlet is telling the truth? Which candidate is telling the truth? What really happened to Carol Baskin's husband? My point is that in all these things, in everything in our life, we've got these competing arguments where one side is saying one thing and another side is saying another, and which one is true? Have you ever wondered, is there a media outlet out there somewhere that just presents the facts? And they let you decide how you feel about it. If someone is raising your hand right now going, oh, I know what that outlet is, I actually don't believe you. I don't believe you because I'm not sure what to believe. I don't know who is telling the truth. Listen, our beliefs as to what we believe is true or not, they're really shaped by our personal experiences. My personal experience with the Bible has been that it is true. And if you try it, if you test it, I believe that you too will find that it is true. I could write a whole series of messages defending the validity of the Bible. And frankly, I think it would blow your mind. But ultimately, if you don't experience it for yourself personally, I don't think you're going to believe me. I don't think you're going to believe this is true until you read it, study it, learn it, apply it to your life, and see that it is. If you're looking for a better marriage, this is the series for you. If you're looking to find that special somebody, this is the series for you. If you don't know what you're doing for the rest of your life, this is the series for you. If you are depressed, if you are anxious, or if you are having the time of your life, this is the perfect series for you. In this series, I'm not going to be giving you 10 steps to a better marriage. I'm going to be talking about the thousands of steps that Jesus took towards you to rescue you. And when you grasp that, when you really begin to understand what Jesus did for you, how this is one big, beautiful story about Him rescuing you, it's going to change every relationship in your life. In this series, I'm not trying to pack it full of memorable, rhyming one-liners that might affect a decision next week. My goal in this series is to equip you with this tool, to help you to be able to handle this, to read it, to study it, to put it into practice. And it's not just going to help you next week. It's going to help you for the next 50 years of your life. This is not a rule book. If you live your life like this is a rule book, your whole life feels like whack-a-mole at Chuck E. Cheese, where the mole pops up, like a sin pops up in your life, and you whack it down, and then the minute you whack it down, another one pops up, and you just exhaust yourself trying to follow all the rules to be a good enough Christian. This is not a fairy tale. It actually happened. It's a true story. When you hold up the Bible against other historical documents that you take as truth, these can't hold a candle to the reliability of Scripture. This is not a good luck charm. It's not a memento. It's not a symbol. It's not a how to live your best life now book. This is a love story, one big, beautiful story about how Jesus came to rescue us. And when we begin to understand that, our whole lives begin to make sense. This is a love story, so captivating, it will redefine your life. There's a girl in our church named Natalie, and Natalie's been at Three Creeks since the beginning. She was on the launch team, and at the time, she was very young in her faith. And I remember about 2 months into our church plant, we had this kind of small worship gathering in one of the homes of somebody that was on our team, and Natalie leaned over to her friend named Nicole in the middle of the worship night, and she said, "I don't know how to pray out loud, and I don't know how to read the Bible." And I just heard that story and I thought, how refreshingly honest was Natalie? I mean, how many people feel that way but aren't willing to say it out loud? Natalie, over the last few years, devoted herself to God's Word and to our church. She got baptized. She joined a team. She was there at 7 in the morning making coffee more times than I can count. Natalie devoted herself to God's Word. And just a week ago, I got a message from that same friend, and she told me that 1 week ago that Natalie and Nicole had spent a whole evening together praying out loud together, pouring out their hearts to God together. Natalie doing it like she had done it for her entire life. How did that happen? How does that kind of change happen in someone's life, where someone goes from being a very young Christian to somebody who's faithfully walking with Jesus and maturing in their faith? How does that transformation happen? I can tell you one thing. It wasn't me. It was because Natalie devoted herself. She went all in. She has stuck with it. And really, devotion requires two things. One, it requires desire. And two, it requires discipline. It requires desire and it requires discipline. I can imagine somebody that's watching this right now, you're all juiced up. You're excited. You're ready to go. Where's my week two guide? When can we start? And I just want to affirm that, yes, you need to have desire for this to work. But number two, you've got to have discipline. At the end of October, when we get to week 7 and week 8 and week 9 and the weather turns cold and the leaves fall off and there's no football to watch and you're depressed, that is when the discipline needs to kick in. This thing is going to require desire and discipline. And if you stick with the series, if you go through the whole thing with us, it's going to change your life. I told you, I've been holding this series in my pocket. I feel like it's finally time to give it to you. 13 weeks, clarity, one big, beautiful story, God's story, your story, and how they fit together. I cannot wait to see how your lives change. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for tuning in. If you have a question about today's message, you can submit it at threecreekschurch.com or on Instagram. And one more thing, if you're going through this series alone, you're missing out. We have small groups of people going through this series together, and we'd love for you to join one. To connect with other people, visit threecreekschurch.com to find a community group near you. And don't forget, tune in on Thursday for your questions answered.